But if you could go with me in your Bibles today, I want to teach from Jeremiah chapter 20. We were in Jeremiah chapter 19 last week, and I don't usually tell you a title until I'm done, but I'm going to tell you the title of this right now. That I'm going to call this, and it's not a very good title. Probably Carl or Bill could have thought of a better title. But I want to call this The Struggles of a Prophet. And this is going to almost seem schizophrenic, parts of this chapter. And the only way that you can ever understand what's going on here is if you divide this chapter into three parts. And so I'm going to read, and I'm going to give you part one, part two, part three. And there's some things that I think will really help us in this chapter. But let's read from the word of the Lord. Verse one. Now Pashur, the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord. So this guy is a way up guy on the totem pole. Heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. Then Pashur beat Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks, in other words, they locked him up, that were in the upper Benjamin gate of the house of the Lord. This is part one, by the way. The next day, when Pashur released Jeremiah from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord does not call your name Pashur, but terror on every side." And we'll talk about that. "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself, to all your friends. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies while you look on, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive to Babylon and shall strike them down with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the wealth of the city, all of its gains, all of its prized belongings, all the treasures of the kings of Judah into the hand of the enemies. Their enemies who shall plunder them and seize them and carry them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. To Babylon you shall go, and there you shall die, and there you shall be buried. You and all your friends to whom you prophesied falsely." Part 2, verse 7 starts part 2. Notice the abrupt change here. "Oh Lord, you have deceived me." This is Jeremiah talking. So one second he's talking to Pashur and prophesying to him. Then the very next verse, "Oh Lord, you have deceived me and I was deceived. You are stronger than I and you have prevailed. I have become a laughing stock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction." In other words, that was Jeremiah's prophesying to Israel. Violence and destruction was coming. "For the word of the Lord has become to me a reproach." In other words, not an honor. He is saying, the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. Verse 9 is a very popular verse that many or all of you will be familiar with. He says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it in, and I cannot." So you've heard about it's like fire shut up in my bones. This gives you a little bit of context. This gives you a little bit of context about that passage. Jeremiah is not talking about, you know, "I just want to praise you and worship you and I can't be stay quiet. It's just like fire shut up in my bones." No. Jeremiah was prophesying and it was causing him all kinds of problems with his fellow countrymen. And he just said, "Listen, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to prophesy anymore. I just can't take the reproach and the shame that it brings me." Then he says, "I tried to keep quiet and it was like fire shut up in my bones and I could not stay quiet." Then we're going to go to verse 10. For I hear many whispering. Terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. Say all of my what? Boy, with friends like that, who needs enemies? With friends like that, who needs enemies? Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. That's Jeremiah's friends talking. Verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. Listen to the faith coming out of Jeremiah. They will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly ashamed. They will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Look at verse 13 and how way up high Jeremiah is. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. Now, are you ready for part 3? I'm going to read verse 13, the last part of part 2. Look at the difference between verse 13 and verse 14. It's crazy. Look at the difference. Sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. Verse 14, part 3. Cursed be the day on which I was born. Wow. Can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? He goes from saying, sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord, to the very next verse, cursed be the day on which I was born. The day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father. A son is born to you, making him very glad. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon. Because he did not kill me in the womb, so my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever great. Why did I come out of the womb? Think about that. Why did I come out of the womb? Why was I ever born? To see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame. Now, let me ask you an honest question before you're seated. Doesn't that almost sound schizophrenic? To be in one verse be saying, praise the Lord, sing unto the Lord. And then the very next day, the very next verse saying, I wish I was never born. Cursed is the day I was born. That almost sounds schizophrenic. So if I can today, I want to talk to you about the struggles of a prophet. The struggles of a prophet. Let's worship the Lord. God, we're so thankful for your word. We ask that you would just reach down and open our minds, open our hearts today. Open our ears, that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit would say unto the church today, God. Help us, Lord, with your word. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. Part one of this, he says, now the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. And you say, well, what are these things? I'll tell you what these things are. These things were what we were talking about last week in chapter 19. Remember how Jeremiah took the elders of Israel down to the valley of Hinnom, which we said is pronounced Gehenna. And remember he had that clay pot and how he smashed it into 1,000 pieces in front of them and basically told them, this is what God's going to do for you. Well, we talked about that last Sunday, and here it says that when Pashur heard that Jeremiah had prophesied that stuff with the clay pot, then he went, and it says in verse 2 that he beat Jeremiah. And that word beat in the Hebrew is not just a little rough up. It's a severe beating. It's a severe beating. And they say this word in the Hebrew is used sometimes for when somebody is beaten literally to death. So Jeremiah didn't just get a fat lip. Jeremiah didn't just get, you know, a couple slaps across the face. He was severely beaten. And it says, and they put him in stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate. And you say, well, what's the big deal about the Upper Benjamin Gate? I did some study about that, and I did some reading about that, and you've got these different gates in the city. The Benjamin Gate was the very northernmost gate. It was up on a high point so that all could see. Historians say that the Benjamin Gate was, and I'm going to read this word for word, the most prominent gate in the city. So this priest Pashur wanted to make a public spectacle out of Jeremiah. He wanted to shame him in front of the whole city of Jerusalem. So he had him beaten and then locked in stocks up in the most prominent gate of the city of Jerusalem. And then in verse 3, the very next day, Pashur comes down there and he released Jeremiah from the stocks. And you would think that Jeremiah would learn his lesson. Keep your mouth shut. You know what? Jeremiah, we didn't like the way you were talking. We didn't like the way you were prophesying. So now maybe getting beat within an inch of your life and then locked in stocks overnight has learned you something. How to keep your mouth shut. Well, let's see here. The next day when Pashur released Jeremiah from the stocks, the moment Jeremiah got released, he turned to Pashur. And before I read the rest of this verse to you, let me tell you what Pashur, the name Pashur means. You know how people's names have meanings? You know, Abraham, father of many nations. Moses, I believe it was what, drawn out. Samson means little son. You know, names had meanings and still do. And the name Pashur in Hebrew means prosperity all around. That's what Pashur means. The name Pashur means prosperity all around. And we're going to read down a few verses here in a little bit, and we're going to find out that he had been prophesying himself to his friends. And you can only imagine, if his name means prosperity all around, what do you think he was prophesying? He was prophesying prosperity. Oh, King of Babylon's not going to overthrow us. We're not going to go into captivity. We don't have to worry. That's probably what he was prophesying. Because his name means prosperity all around. And Jeremiah tells him, he says, the Lord's changing your name. And your name is not going to be called Pashur, but your name is going to be called Magor Misabib. Magor Misabib. This translation here doesn't have it in the Hebrew. He says, your name shall be called Magor Misabib, which in the Hebrew is translated terror on every side. So Pashur, you are no longer going to be prosperity on every side, but you're going to be terror on every side. And he says in verse 6, he says, Pashur, you and all you who dwell in your house are going to go into captivity, and there shall you die, and there shall you be buried. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Let me ask you this. Does it matter to you where you get buried? You know, Carl, it just don't matter to me as much as it used to. Because I believe in a resurrection. And whether I get buried here in Oregon, or if I get buried at sea, it just don't really matter. But in those days, it wasn't like that. Remember how Abraham wanted to be buried next to his wife? You remember how Isaac, remember, Jacob buried next to Leah? And it was a deal. The idea is that if you were a Jew, when you died, you were going to be buried in the promised land. Remember, even Joseph told them, he goes, listen, when you guys go up out of Egypt, don't you leave my bones here in Egypt. but you carry my bones out. Don't you bury me here in this pagan land. Don't you do that. You carry my bones out of Egypt. Well, Jeremiah told this priest, Pashur, that had his name changed. He says, you're going to go into Babylon and you're going to die down there in Babylon and they're going to bury you in Babylon. Okay? So that, you could tell that Jeremiah didn't learn his lesson. Spending the night in the stocks didn't really learn him much. But now let's go to part two. So the last part of part one was verse six when he says, you're going to be buried, you and all your friends to whom you prophesied falsely. Verse 7. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. Wow, isn't that a change? Almost schizophrenic. He goes from telling Pashur this to the very next verse saying, Lord, you've deceived me. Or some translations pronounce it or translate it, Lord, you have persuaded me. And I was persuaded. Or you have coerced me. In fact, one translation, the NET says, Lord, you have coerced me into being a prophet, and I allowed you to do it. What was happening here? Jeremiah wasn't happy about the thought that he was a prophet. He didn't want the office. He didn't want the troubles. He didn't want the headaches. He didn't want the heartaches. It was just like, God, why can't I just be a good godly man and somebody else have all of this? And if you'll go back to chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah tried to talk God out of having him be a prophet. And he says in verses 6, 7, and 8, he says, then I said, ah, Lord God, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth. And then he says, I'm going to send you, and you're going to be my prophet, and you're going to be a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, in verse 7 here, was feeling a little bit forsaken. And I've told you that when you read through the Old Testament, who do we need to see? Jeremiah was feeling forsaken. And first of all, Jeremiah got beat, right? What happened before Jesus' crucifixion? Severely beaten. And Jeremiah said, Lord, you deceived me. You coerced me. What did Jesus say? Matthew 27 and 46, hanging on the cross. It says that Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So can you see that Jeremiah is prefiguring the sufferings of Christ? And I hope I'm not boring you today. But Jeremiah, again, he was beaten and he felt forsaken. Jesus was beaten and felt forsaken. And then look in this same verse that we just read. He says, I have become a laughingstock all the day, and everyone is mocking me. That's what Jeremiah told God. He said, God, I'm a laughingstock. You make me a prophet, and the things that I have prophesied, instead of good things happening to me, all it's done is made me a laughingstock, and everyone mocks me all the day. Look at Matthew 27, verses 41 and 42. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. You see how Jeremiah's sufferings, being beaten, being mocked at, was a prefigure of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And you say, but Brother Wiggins, the apostles were beaten too. Yes, they were. And in fact, you can look in Acts chapter 5. It says that they got some of the apostles together and told them, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And it says that the apostles went away rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for his name. Peter said it this way, 1 Peter chapter 4, rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory in God rests upon you. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But can I say the difference between the apostles and Jeremiah? And Eunice, would I offend you if I explain it in a way that's very, very carnal? Can I just give a carnal example here? Carl, this is not going to be spiritual at all. This is going to be, actually, it's going to be actually quite worldly. You're going to say, man, Brother Wiggins, that's why Sister Wiggins needs to be at home just to keep you. You get into mischief when she's gone. Brian, when I grew up in high school, that was in the golden age of rock. Rock and roll was the thing. Okay? And as a teenager, maybe you guys weren't like that, but down in Central California, music was almost like an identity. Brother William, it was like an identity. And Brian, I had a little bit of a problem because I loved all that rock. Okay, I wasn't really all that much of a God-fearing at that time, and I loved all that rock. I loved it, loved it, loved it. But Brian, I grew up on a farm, and I grew up hearing country music. And when I would hear a steel guitar slide, it's, whoo, man, something just go all through me. When I hear that twangy guitar playing, and I would be in my bedroom playing rock on my guitar, and all of a sudden, some of this country stuff would just come out. I'd say, why am I doing this? And the last thing that I wanted anyone to know, I didn't want anybody to know that Timmy Wiggins also liked country. And there was a song, a country song that came out. This is so worldly. Carl, I'm so sorry. There was a song that came out, a worldly country song. And it was talking about that. It was talking about liking country in a rock world. And I can't even remember who the vocalist was. But the chorus said these words. I was country when country wasn't cool. Okay, is there any other carnal ones in the house that'll confess that they've heard the song? Okay. And Bill, please don't say that you listened to it on the way to church this morning. Just leave that fact out, okay? But... But she said, I was country back when being country wasn't cool. You say, what in the world does that have to do with Jeremiah? Well, let me tell you what it does. Brother Lloyd, did Peter get beaten? Yes. Did Paul get beaten? Oh, he did, severely. Did the other disciples and apostles get beaten? Oh, yes, they did. But let me tell you something, Brother Lloyd. That was after Jesus fed the 5,000. That was after Jesus turned the water into wine. That was after Jesus had raised the dead. That was after Jesus had been crucified, buried, and rose again and was seen by hundreds of witnesses. Let me tell you something. Yeah, Peter got beat and Paul got beat, but all of those things happened after the resurrection. But let me tell you something. There weren't no miracles when Jeremiah was taking his beating. This was a prefigure of something that Jesus was going to have to go through hundreds of years later. So when Jeremiah was getting his shame and his reproach, what can I say about Jeremiah? Well, if I can be so carnal as to put it this way, he was country. When country wasn't cool. It wasn't cool to be a prophet. Paul had a following. Peter had a following. all Jeremiah had. It says that this chapter that we read said even his very closest friends were his enemies. Again, prefiguring Christ, because who betrayed Jesus? One of his closest friends, one of the chosen 12, betrayed him with how would a friend betray with a kiss? And Jeremiah was betrayed by his closest friends. Can you see what Jeremiah is going through here? Can you see what's going on in Jeremiah's life? And that's why he finally got so fed up, Brother William. He got so fed up with it that he said, listen, I don't want to preach anymore. I don't want to teach anymore. I don't want to prophesy anymore. I don't want to be a prophet. And it says in verse 9, he says, Jeremiah said this, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. But he says, when I do that, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I cannot not speak. I have to cry out. And then verse 11, he changes and he says, the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. So Jeremiah in verse 11 is speaking confidence. Verse 13, he ends part two on a very victorious note and says, sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. So praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. But then the very next verse, verse 14, he goes from saying, sing unto the Lord, to cursed be the day I was born. That's bipolar, man. That is just almost bipolar. And no, I'm not trying to be blasphemous. Jeremiah was feeling the pains of being a prophet. What you're reading here is not the musings of a madman. No, there was nothing wrong with Jeremiah. But he was so torn because on one hand, he had the anointing on his life to be a prophet of God and to be a leader of those that would fear God. But on the other hand, it just seemed like every time he preached, every time he prophesied, it just caused him shame and reproach. And you say, well, how does this apply to me? Brother William, can I tell you one of the rules that we live by? Can I tell you a rule that everybody here lives by? Okay? Including myself. If you do good things, if you do the right thing, then good things are going to happen to you. Okay? I mean, do you live by that rule? I do. If you do the good things and the right things, then that means good things are going to happen to you. And so I live by that rule. But is that rule true? No, it's not. Because, Brother Brian, you can do all the right things and all hell can come against you anyway. And you say, what did I do to deserve this? Just because you're doing the right things and the good things doesn't mean good things are going to come back to you. And that's why Jeremiah could go from sing unto the Lord to the very next verse saying, cursed be the day that I was born. Cursed be the day that the news came to my father saying a son has been born to you. Verse 18. Why did I come from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? You say, man, Jeremiah was mad. No, he wasn't mad. He was just feeling something that every Christian's going to feel from time to time in their life. You're doing the right things. You're trying to live right. You're trying to live godly. You're trying to live holy. And out of nowhere, boom, a bomb goes off in your life that you had nothing to do with. You had no control over. And you just say, Jeremiah, now I see what you're talking about. I see where you're coming from, Jeremiah. You're not so crazy after all. But you look at verse 18, and it reminds me of another Old Testament passage. If I read verse 18, he says, why did I come out of the womb? To see toil and what? What was that, Eunice? Why did I come out of the womb to see toil and sorrow? But speaking of Jesus, Isaiah said this. He was despised, Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Does anybody know what's the nickname of Jeremiah? Jeremiah is called the what? It was a prefigure of Christ. Because Isaiah said that Messiah would be a man of sorrows. And again, Jeremiah was country when country wasn't cool. When there was nobody else to stand with him, he still stood for what was right. Even when it separated him from some of his very closest friends. And let's all stand today. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus talked about, and I don't want to discourage anybody here from following the Lord. I mean, I don't want you to walk out of here and just say, man, after Brother Wiggins said what he said today, I just don't know if I want to be a Christian or not. I think I'd rather just be a sinner. What did the one singer say? I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. Jesus let his disciples know that there can be a very high cost to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah teaches us a lesson that being a follower of the Lord can have a cost, Brother William. It can cost us something. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 said this, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. You become a follower of me, it's not going to make you friends. It's going to make you enemies. John chapter, and that's what Jeremiah was feeling. Again, this wasn't the musings of a madman. He was feeling this, the difficulty of it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, listen to this. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it ever hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And you say, Brother Wiggins, I didn't know. I thought that being a Christian was going to be all glory, all victory, all triumph, standing on the mountaintop with Jesus. Friend, there is going to be a day in which all the trials are going to have ended, Sister Carlson. Sister Carmen, excuse me. I don't know why I said calls. Sister Carmen, just like one songwriter wrote, he said, he's brought me here where things are clear and trials turn to gold. There's going to come a day that all the weeping's going to be gone. All of the tests, all of the trials, social rejection, and those that persecuted you are going to be ashes beneath your feet. But for the here and the now, there are times that we will suffer you will do the right thing, and it seems like wrong things happen to you. But you know what you need to keep on doing? Just keep on coming to church. Keep on praying. Keep on reading your Bible. Keep on living the life of a Christian. And just realize that my true reward is not in this life. My true reward is not going to be in this world. Out of all of the apostles, every single one, folks, was martyred. Everyone. Except John. The only of all of the apostles, the only one to die of old age was John. And they tried to kill him. If you read the Ante-Nicene Fathers, they tried to kill him. You know what? Let's just read the words of Jeremiah and realize, you know what? I can be successful. I can endure hard times. I can endure adverse circumstances. I can endure rejection. I can endure criticism. I can be a Christian, even if it's not cool to be one. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the blood that washes away all sins. Thank you for your Spirit. It helps us to walk for you. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for the light, that your word is a light, lamp and a light unto our feet and our path, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're not worthy of you, Lord, but you are so worthy. Let's all gather around front for a few moments this morning.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. It Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
God, I praise you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Give you glory and honor, God. You want to know the honest truth? I've told people before, I've got my dark side to me. When I was studying Jeremiah chapter 20, and I saw these three parts that this chapter falls into, and how it's here, then it's way down here, and then back up, and then way, way down again. I thought to myself, how in the world am I ever going to preach this chapter to these people? And I had a great idea, Brother Bill. Here's what I thought. I'm going to divide. Part one, I'll preach on 1 week. And then by the next Sunday, they will have forgotten all about part one. I'll preach part two. And then part three, they won't even be thinking about part two. And I'll get to preach through all of chapter 20. And they'll never see this stuff. And just my dark side said, that's what I'm going to do. But then I realized you guys really wouldn't be hearing the heartbeat of Jeremiah and what he was going through, and realizing, wow, I'm not the only one. Other people go through that. Yeah, did you have something you wanted to say, Carmen? Yes, yes.
Kind of like in the same road.
Yes.
Which is different times. Mm. I always try to remember that.
Very good. Very, very good. Job was another man that did all the right things and all the wrong things happened to him. But he said, you know what? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. It's not going to make any difference in my walk with God. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory and honor. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, Lord.